We often set Judas and Peter in a kind of two sides of the same coin thing in the dynamic of Holy Week. And what we tend to focus on is the end result, that Peter returns to the Lord and is reconciled, and Judas gives in to despair. I don't think we spend enough time on their reaction after they realize that they sin. Listen to what is said about Judas. Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." That's remarkable contrition. Everything is there. Deep regret that moves him to action, to try and do something right, to at least get rid of any benefit that he received for this horrific betrayal. Naming it as sin, not just in betraying a friend, but in betraying innocent blood. And Peter, each time, kind of digs the hole deeper. Because he keeps doing this under oath, it says. Right? He is invoking God or the temple. And when it says he began to curse and swear, this isn't Peter just saying bad words. He again is invoking something holy, divine, to bear witness to the lie that he is telling. And it's left more vague that he goes away and weeps bitterly. We will overlay on that the end result, that there is contrition. But the text itself in this moment doesn't make that clear. And so we have these two men in varying stages of contrition. Peter may be there, and Judas certainly there. So what happens? The chief priests and the elders say something utterly horrifying. In response to Judas's confession, what is that to us? Look to it yourself. These are the chief priests, the ones who offer sacrifice, sin offerings, who are meant to be the agents of reconciliation with God. And all they present to Judas is a closed door, likely being the ones that push him into his final despair. And we know that Peter will find in Jesus after the resurrection the embrace of a friend who draws, yes, a triple confession, but who restores his dignity to him. So this is why I spend so much time in my preaching asking the question, are we seeing God the right way? There are voices within popular media in the church that would say, priests need to talk more about sin. And there are priests who've got plenty of platforms that you can find them listing off sins that most people don't know about, and are you missing these sins, and just enumerating, ranting and raving, all with maybe the good desire to try and spark some contrition fine. Judas knows his sin, maybe even better than Peter. Judas is, at least as the text shows it to us, more sorry for his sin and ready to make it right. The difference between the two of them is the image of God that they face. So is the God who we talk to, the God that we think of as we pray, when we go to confession, that we receive in the Eucharist, the God whom Peter is going to meet, or the closed door that the chief priests and scribes set up? Do we hear an echo in the image of God that is presented to us or that we live with, that horrible phrase, look to it yourself? And so we live trying to heal ourselves of our sins, fix ourselves first, and then maybe God will love us, with that always tipping a little closer to despair. And this can look like lots of novenas. This can look like attachment to private revelations that guarantee, not with the church's approval, mind you, immediate entry into heaven for us, for loved ones. And what lurks underneath that is the image of a God who is a closed door, who must be convinced through these quasi-superstitious practices or through just beating ourselves up enough to let us in. What a horrible image of God. Jesus is before us as one who is laid bare, stripped, opened in his wounds, utterly accessible. Don't hear what I'm not saying. We should make every effort to know our sins, to make a good confession. But it is dear Saint Therese of Lisieux who has the right order. When she came to understand, she said that if she had committed every mortal sin there was to commit, it would be nothing more than a drop of water in the furnace of God's mercy. Do we have that the other way? That our sins are somehow some flood tide, it might just be the thing that the very furnace of God's mercy is put out by. Therese, doctor of the church, takes sin and mortal sin seriously, but in taking it seriously, sees the truth that the mercy and love of God laid bare in this gospel that the church gives to us is infinitely greater than the sum total of all the world's sin. And so as we go into Holy Week, what is the image of God? Who is the God that we are going to meet?